As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on The Athletic Podcast Network.
And that is hammered! Oh, my!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
High drive! Left field! It is out of here!
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 34 of The Rectangular Table. I am Grant Brisby.
Of The Rectangle.
Yeah, I am here at The Rectangle at the winter meetings in person with my good chums, my baseball idiots, Mark Carrig and Andy McCullough. How are you doing? Let's start with Mark. Mark?
Just enjoying the rectangular table.
Yeah.
Grant. This is real nice.
I'm looking into your eyes right now and I'm seeing the depth.
The depth. I got the corners on the table.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause it's a rectangle.
And this is exciting because Andy was telling me before we went on that he has some news to break. So,
what?
Andy, yeah, let's break some news.
Yes. Yes.
Please.
I can exclusively report here on the roundtable that Charlie Morton has re-signed with the Atlanta Braves.
There you go. My
1 year,
word.
$20 million. You heard that here first. Charlie Morton, back to the Braves.
Outstanding. All right. Well, no, we're not breaking any news here. That was a good answer to my bit, but we're here to talk about the moves. Carlos Estevez has signed. He signed. He's off the board.
Boy, it's going to have a major impact on the rest of the market.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
No.
Come on, who?
He signed with the Angels 2 years.
Oh, right. He's the guy from the Rockies.
Yes. Yes, his fastball. We can spend 45 minutes talking about like Coors, the effects on his slider.
Could we?
Probably.
We're going to try.
Probably not. All
right. We're going to try.
No, I guess we're going to start by talking, Verlander, DeGrom. Verlander was the big one today.
Well, as all the fans know, on this podcast, we did correctly predict Jacob DeGrom to the Rangers,
or the Giants,
whichever one we said. No, it's interesting, right? What we did talk about kind of came to fruition was the idea that the market for DeGrom from the elite teams is going to shape up to be around 2 to 3 years. If a team like the Rangers wanted to win the bidding, they were going to have to go five, and the Rangers have demonstrated a willingness in the past, you know, year or so to kind of go a little bonkers. They gave $500 million to Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. And so who was going to be willing to go five? It was the Rangers. So, you know, shock and awe type of spending. 5 years, 185 with an like sort of option that can get it to 222 for a guy who made 11 starts last year. Like it's a crazy bet. But it's the sort of thing that if you're the Texas Rangers and you want to sign the player, this is what it costs.
Didn't we talk about the opposite of optionality?
Right.
Last week, and this was it. They were painted into a corner.
Like, yeah,
and then they began, and really the process began last offseason, right? When you go all in like they did, and then the results are what they are. There really is only one play here,
right,
and they did it.
Right.
And, you know, you can debate whether that was the right thing or not, but, boy, that is a lot of risk for a guy that, you know, has struggled to post, frankly. So that it's – I get why they did it. I kind of feel like they're painted into a corner, and yeah, we were talking about optionality. This is the exact opposite extreme.
It's – did I miss something before last offseason where the Rangers came in so hot and heavy with Semien and Seager and now with DeGrom? Like, I don't – I remember the Rangers trying. I remember the Rangers spending a little bit. I don't remember the Rangers just shooting both six-shooters scenario and yeehaw.
So remember in 2020
when
we started checking our phones and getting all this really scary news?
Yeah.
So during that year, the Rangers planned to open a new baseball stadium. And then they couldn't put people in it because of the pandemic.
Okay.
So then, so they've sort of they were setting up for this, right?
Okay.
They were setting up like, hey, we're gonna move into the next phase
right.
of the rebuild. We're gonna start spending, and then they have no revenue, right? Yep. Not no revenue, but you know, like the idea of getting drafting off the revenue of the new stadium as being a way to like to supply that,
right?
And so now it was like, okay, well, we got all this money. We opened this ballpark. We got to give people a reason to buy tickets. And so that's where Semien and Seager come from. And then it's like, all right, we got all this money. We opened this ballpark. We got to sell tickets. We got Semien and Seager. Like, we got to keep going, right?
Yeah.
That's how you get to that point.
Man, I just became an alcoholic. I thought that was expensive. Right? Now they're doing something different. Like, they're spending on baseball players. No. Actually, when you were telling me this, this reminded me that we talked about this like a couple weeks
ago.
My shock and surprise. I should write notes on
it's
like,
okay.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, Mark doesn't listen to the show when he's not on it, but you at least are on the show. So you have less of an excuse.
I'm well known. I'm the glue.
Yeah.
I am the glue. I'm the glue. So what do you think about DeGrom being out and Verlander being the instant like Mets go out and say, no.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about optionality. The Mets felt very compelled to respond right away, right? Like in the minutes after like DeGrom went to Texas, they were contacting folks being like, basically we got $40 million burning a hole in our pocket. And they found the easiest way to spend it, which is on Justin Verlander.
It's like,
right.
It's like what Mets fans always thought the Mets should be.
It is what the Mets should be.
Yeah.
Like it is what the Mets should be. And you can, and from an actuarial standpoint, right, a 2-year deal with Verlander is a much safer bet than a 5-year deal with DeGrom, even with Verlander's advanced age.
Yeah.
And they're getting a player who, while he may not have the sort of aesthetic peaks of Jacob DeGrom, posted far more often last year.
Right.
Even after, you know, elbow reconstruction that cost him 2 seasons. So, like, it's not, you don't want to say like it's a net positive for the Mets. It's close. It's basically a wash,
right?
But it is a, I don't know. It's a quick answer to what would have been a pretty serious hole in their roster building. Right.
And it's also just money. I mean, like, and see, all
dude, Steve Cohen is so rich
and it's 2 years and it's just paid this guy a lot of money. Right.
Okay.
Like, and so it was pretty simple. A very simple thing. Whatever is this, like the Paw Patrol breakout? Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jake from Zaboomafoo.
Yeah, like, what? Like,
we're being visited by the Cespedes Barbecue gentleman.
Does this mean I have to learn which one of you is Jake and which one of you is Jordan?
Not quite yet. Really, I just wanted to come by and give a compliment. This is the only baseball podcast I listen to regularly.
Oh, that's so sweet.
This is the one that I tune into the most. Not the whole feed, like you three guys.
Well, the youth of America.
Clip this out.
Squad. This is good.
Put this on the iPod or the Apple reviews where everyone says I'm an idiot who knows nothing about baseball.
Yeah, yeah, put this on the Snapchat or wherever the kids.
They're right.
Now, I was listening before, and I heard a joke that Grant made about Carlos Estevez, and my first thought was, neither Mark nor Andy know who that is.
No, that's not true.
Of course, he's the coach of the Mighty Ducks. Got drunk. Community service, changed some lives. I know who it is.
Carlos Estevez.
He doubted you.
Andy, do you want to get that Apple podcast review off your chest?
No,
seems
it's
like
fine.
There's a specific it's one fine. That comes to mind.
No, it's, if I read the reviews for the first time, woo. Yeah.
They called us like giggling idiots or something.
Well,
that
was a good one.
Yeah. The guy said like, he was like made very clear. He thinks Grant is great. Like Grant is really smart. And he was like, but Andy McCullough is like a moron who knows nothing about baseball. Yeah. Which like, that's the character I'm playing on the show.
We're all playing our part.
Yeah.
That seems fair. Me, Grant read that review and was like, that's a shame about Andy. I'm killing it.
Oh, how are you guys
doing? Okay, yeah, you need a pre-sun or something?
No, I would love, honestly.
Sure, put some Barney on
honestly,
for you.
They honestly, sing some songs. That's a little far. Capri Sun sounds awesome right now.
Jordan is engaged.
Yeah,
he's gonna, like an adult.
Congratulations.
You met my fiance. She's great.
She
thought you were great. She's actually, and she's also left an Apple review in real life saying, I like Mark.
Oh, that's nice.
But Andy's a fraud.
It's true.
No, that's true. We were just saying that. It's like these jokes, like they're starting, like you guys are, you're not pushing 30 yet, but I mean, you're like, you're grown men. Like,
yeah,
look
no,
at you.
Not
you all grown
quite
up.
There, but we this is the 10th year that we've done it. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of us doing baseball things together. So that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Chris Cotillo is like 45 now.
I know. The turning point. Can I tell a quick story about Andy? This is the turning point in my season for me. So I walk into the Yankees clubhouse one day, and I'm wearing something a little too aggressive.
Oh, is this the day you were dressed up like Bruce Springsteen in from 1984?
And Andy walks up to me, and he just goes, you're peacocking. And he walks away. And that was it. And in that moment, I knew that I needed to just rein it in a little bit. I just needed to, you know, dumb my own self down just a smidge. And without Andy just playing J.K. Simmons whiplash level mind games with me in the clubhouse, I would never be here today. Yeah. So, Andy, from the top of my heart, thank you.
No problem. If I had a symbol, I'd throw it at your head.
Yeah. See, I mean, there's nothing like an Andy McCullough negative reinforcement moment to like straighten out your day. So that's nice.
I master that.
Yeah. As long as we're sharing stories, at the 2016 World Series at Wrigley Field, I walked into the bathroom, and it was the men's bathroom. It was totally empty, except for Jake and Jordan.
Right next to each other.
So, like at the urinal. So we had like 10 empty urinals, and they're just like straight up, like not like one urinal buffer.
We were like, Grant, join us.
Yeah,
it was like, no.
It was cult-like. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're okay. Like, yeah, I've gotten to know you since then.
I would just say about that, right? I mean, we're always, we can't take a break. I mean, we're always on. You know, we're always talking about baseball. We're not going to take a break. Sometimes we will spread out a little bit more and really make sure that whatever our baseball conversation is having is being spread across the entire bathroom. In that case, we kind of kept it to two urinals.
We are sleeping in two separate beds,
but they're bunk beds.
They are bunk beds. We didn't stack them.
Yeah.
Before we go, what was the best part of everyone's day? The baseball related part of everyone's day? Was there a moment? The winter meetings are flush with just bizarre happenings. Howie Kendrick is here. You know, like I saw Bo Porter is here. You just see these things. You see these people who operate a very small portion of your brain. And Mark, for you as someone who has not been to a baseball game since the Bush administration, I'm curious what struck you today? What will kind of stick in your mind from day one of the winter meetings?
Just to be clear, Bush was the president before Obama.
Right.
No. He was the president before Clinton.
Right. Yes.
So anyway, I'm glad that I'm participating in the KidCaster edition of this episode.
Yeah, we're getting the reviews. The KidCasters are great.
Yeah, they're awesome. Bring them back.
Oh, my gosh.
Pre-suns for everyone.
What enthusiasm they have. They haven't had the life beaten out of them by doing this and realizing they have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Did you have a good part of your day or no?
No, I did. I mean, my best part of my day is watching Pulitzer Prize winner Carlos Baerga wipe the floor with everyone in this lobby.
What are we doing? Can we talk about that for a quick second? Because I love that we all agreed, all right, I guess he was first. And then we just kind of, was there any further exploration as to why? Or are we just being like, yeah, Carlos Baerga, you got it.
He was first with something last year. It was the A's trading Matt Olson or something.
Oh,
like
okay.
He broke something with the A's or something last
but
year.
But he also said that Freddie Freeman was going to sign with the Blue Jays last year. So
is he just throwing darts?
He's not just throwing darts if he said Verlander 286, like he said that, right?
Yeah,
that's what's super bizarre about it.
There was chatter among players that
that's what the deal was going to be. So I assume that that's how it got to Baerga's levels of players we're talking about. Because, you know, players actually, they're the big product of the game. As you guys all know, we are, thank you for coming on, the only pro-labor baseball podcast.
Finally,
someone.
Apparently the only pro-child labor podcast, too.
And with that, thank you all for listening. You can listen to Baseball Barbacast, our podcast, wherever you find your podcast. Gentlemen, yes. Have a phenomenal evening.
Which, as Jake said, is not as good as this one, because he's certainly not listening to ours. But thank you, guys. This was delightful. You'll have a whole new round of material for us next time.
It's actually nice to have people on who've had more podcasts canceled than Mark and I. So that's good.
That's true. No, we're 1-1.
No.
you had one?
We had two canceled.
Did we have two?
Oh, no. My podcast with Pedro was canceled.
Oh, yeah, they whacked.
So you got two?
Yeah,
two. Oh, yeah, we got tons of work to do.
All right, hey, you got a lot to learn.
They just keep me going, man.
Love it.
Oh, that is fun. I like those two gentlemen.
They're so polite.
Yeah, they are. They're nice young men.
They've come a long way.
Yeah, no.
They've come a long way.
I wish they'd edge my lawn a little bit better, though. Lazy.
Oh, my God.
What do we got?
All right. Fire with those.
Grant.
Yes,
how you feeling about Aaron Judge? Where are you at? Ooh, where's your headspace?
That's a good one.
It is. I'm still stuck on Yankees. Like, I think he's going back to the Yankees. I think if he wants to stay there, they'll make him a competitive offer. But honestly, the Trey Turner deal coming in at 11 years
woo!
Makes me think that it's going to be goofier money and years for Judge than we're thinking. And we already were thinking goofy years and money. And I'm think the Yankees aren't guaranteed to go goofy. The new austerity has been hyped up a little too much. So they did sign Gerrit Cole. They are willing to spend a lot of money. They're still kind of the Yankees, but they're not the Dodgers, which is weird to say. Like, they're not, I don't think they're just going to blow it up for Judge. I don't know. Like, it's 60-40 with 60 going back to the Yankees. That's right.
What do you think, Mark?
I think he's going back to the New York. I mean, I think he's a Yankee for life.
When you made about Turner, though, that's kind of, I don't know. Do you think that?
Well, okay, so Turner gets the 11-year deal, right? You figure some of this is that AAV thing, you spread it out.
Right.
Like, that $300 million is about the neighborhood he was going to get, and they just...
It's a little high.
I mean, Tim Britton, who's done a great job with his free agent projections, and if you guys haven't seen him, check him out. Like, he had the Verlander deal pegged, like, at $1 million over-under. I think he had 2 for $87 million. Okay.
Right.
He's had a bunch of these where he's like been really close. And so when I was looking through his logic on Turner and I saw the number today, I'm like, you know what? That 11 years is just to be spread out to make the AAV hit a little luxury tax hit a little bit easier.
Because,
you know, if it's really an 8-year deal and like you have to like DFA him or whatever at the end of that, well, that's sort of the bargain that you make. And it makes a lot of sense because by the time you get to like year 7, year 8, spreading that money out makes a huge difference as far as what the cap is in the future. Right. So,
yeah, but I understand the sort of the point you're making because it is an AAV play,
right?
For
isn't
the Phillies,
it? Like, that's what my
right,
first
but
thought.
It's still 11 years, $300 million.
Right. No, sure.
Right. So, like, if you are Aaron Judge's reps, you know, you can say, "Well, why are we settling for 9?"
Right.
The thought with Judge for a while is that it would take at least 8, obviously, right? Because the Yankees offered 7. Okay, it's going to take 8. And then, you know, Ken Rosenthal reported coming into this, it's probably going to take 9. Well, based on how this market is going, like, could it get to 10?
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, it could be an 8 or 9 year deal. That goes to 10 or 11 on an AAV play. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees are the sort of team who they've made those types of deals. LeMahieu is a 4-year deal that's spread out across 6, etc. But I don't know. That could delay things in terms of getting it done because, you know, you wait to see if, you know, another team jumps in. I mean, there's got to be a third team in there. There has to be. It can't just be two teams.
Would you call this a mystery team?
Well, it's not a mystery team. One of them's the Dodgers,
right?
But what the Dodgers are offering is a mystery.
Right.
You know, the Dodgers are in this weird mode. Not weird mode. It's the mode they're normally in where they're just waiting out all the markets.
Yeah, you made that point about Friedman today and you know, and
this
whether, and I thought it was a sharp point because do you adjust when you, like, you've talked about this market and it's like you can't just operate, you know, the same way when we're seeing something that's very different right now.
Yeah, I guess the thought is if the market is maybe more irrational than you're accustomed to, does that make patience even more valuable, or does it make it like a detriment, or are you just like missing the point? You know, like if you're looking at all the deals and being like 40 million for Zach Eflin, you know, like 12 million for Mike Clevenger, like let's just wait. And then all of a sudden you look up and all the players are gone.
Right.
I don't know. That's why that's the calculus that they're going through all day. But like, you know, Dodgers are in on Verlander. They were in on Verlander. They're in on Correa. They're in on Judge. They're in on Bogarts. You know, the Swanson, blah, blah, blah. They're all these guys. You know, Nimmo would make sense for them. But it's almost always under Andrew Friedman, it's at their price. We will do this at our price. And they always have the luxury of saying no. The question is, will they come off that? They've given no indication that they're going to suddenly change the way they operate. You know, they won 111 games.
Yeah.
So
when you covered them,
yeah,
you understand how they think. If you had to handicap it, Andy, do you see a deviation here? Or do you see them sticking to their guns and playing this how they typically play?
I mean,
this?
The one time they've deviated off that strategy was in the winter after 2016. And they brought back their three big free agents in Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen, and Rich Hill. But all those deals were for eight figures. None of them were in the nine. You know, the richest of those deals was Justin Turner, I think, at $464. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're not talking about getting into a 7, 8, 9 year pact with a guy where you're paying for all of his 30s, right? These were short term, even for, well, no, Jansen's was more than that. Sorry, excuse me. Jansen's was like 5 for $80 or something like that. But anyway, they're not paying for, you know, the entire decade of a player they don't really know. Mm. They've never done it.
Yeah.
They've never done it in this time of year with the level of aggression that is required to get it done at this time of year. They certainly have the financial capability. They certainly have the openings on the roster, but they, you know, you're going to hear a lot of teams say we're trying to be opportunistic at this time of year. The Dodgers actually like live by that, you know?
I think the main difference between the Dodgers and a lot of teams is that if the Dodgers roll into next season and their biggest acquisitions are Shelby Miller, Jace Peterson, and Jordan Lyles, everyone will go like, they did it again. Jordan Lyles is going to have an ERA right. of 2.9, but they will still be like a 100-win team, 105-win team. They will still, as of right now, no Judge, no Nimmo, no Swanson, no whatever. They're still the favorites in the West. So maybe that fits into their strategy or their patience.
Yeah. I mean, they always have the luxury of saying no. They are, do you want to talk about optionality? Mm-hmm. Like they are the number one purveyor of that philosophy in the sport. It's, you know, Andrew Friedman learned it from Stu Sternberg. It's like the guiding core of what they do. Never be in a position where you have to do something. And so what it creates for their fans is like frustration, right? Because it's like, okay, well, you know, I would have done 2 for $88 for Justin Verlander if that's what it would have taken to got him,
right.
to get him. But they clearly don't want to pay him $44 million, yes. which like, okay, you know, they don't have to do that.
I guess with them, you have to factor in the luxury tax. They'd be paying 60, whatever
yeah,
the percentage
but like,
over.
I mean, Steve Cohen is going past the luxury tax. So yeah, it's more like yes, there are factors in there, but like the first threshold of the luxury tax, which is what the Dodgers would be bumping up against is like not that. Like,
no, I didn't know they were first timers.
Yeah. The Mets are an interesting spot because they're going to get past the third luxury tax while, as the only pro labor podcast we should say that the billionaires can afford to pay these things.
Darn
you. But like that's when the penalties start to get pretty gnarly after the third threshold.
Yeah, I can see what you said about painting yourself into the corner, and that's the guiding principle of the Dodgers. I feel like the Giants have painted themselves into a corner with Aaron yes. Judge, who, again, I don't think they're the likeliest team to get him. But I think if the Giants come away with Carlos Correa and Carlos Rodon, like their fans will go, okay, yeah, okay.
Right.
But like that's about it. It's Judge or bust. You know, I've got my ear to the ground.
I'm curious. This is appealing to see your history of the Giants, your sense of history for the franchise.
Sure.
I remember They were halfway out the door to Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Who do they go out and get right after the local conglomerate keeps them in San Francisco?
Yeah, that's Barry Bonds.
Kevin Mitchell.
That's a miss.
No?
That's a miss.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper Polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech Chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima Crew Neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, they're not the exact same situation, obviously, right. But I think in both cases, this is a franchise that was in desperate need of something.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at that point in the franchise's history, like for much of the 80s, they weren't very good. They had that pennant-winning team. They made the playoffs in 87, but they weren't like consistently good. And frankly, Candlestick was a tough sell.
Yep.
Had been for a long time. The Giants always projected like they just needed a spark. And hence, when they signed Barry Bonds, I think it changed really the trajectory of the thing. Are they in a moment like that now?
It's a really interesting comparison. I mean, look, Bonds was, I think, 27 when he signed. He was the best player in baseball. He'd done it for longer. It was a little bit different, but it was still a statement signing. It was still very much a, hey, we are here. Hey, come out and watch this baseball team. We are not going away. We are right here, darn it. And it's similar in that respect. And I think it's something similar now where attendance is down. You have a statement signing would make a big deal. And do you know who was second place for Bonds?
No.
The Yankees. And it was the difference of a year. The Yankees didn't want to add that extra year.
The Yankees wouldn't go past like 5 years and, $35 million or something.
Right?
Bond signed like 6 for $46 or something like that?
It was the biggest contract at the time, but let me see.
Less than Andrew Heaney's going to get?
Well, now there's a camera on me, so people are actually watching this. But Giants sign Bonds, 1992.
And I feel like they got other guys in that, like later on. Daryl Hamilton, I want to say. 40? Was that offseason, right?
No, that was the 90 before the 97 offseason.
Okay. That's not even close.
Yeah, but so it's $43 million in bonds. Deal's average annual value was $7.16 million, surpassed the $7.1 deal that Ryan Sandberg had gotten.
Progress. Before.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have a picture, like a framed picture, like the deal makers, where it has like Nancy Pelosi's there, Dianne Feinstein's there, Willie Mays is there, and Barry Bonds is there. And like all of a sudden, it's like the Giants, man. The Giants they're back, baby.
You can get the whole band back together.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know,
right.
For the judge signing.
We've already done that. You think that who would it be now? All the power brokers they've moved on, they've moved up.
That's true.
Yeah.
So you don't feel good about this.
I mean, like, I have to be realistic.
You're painting a real like scary picture. Like there's like a lot of pressure on them to get Judge, and they're not going to get Judge.
I just don't think it's up to Judge. Obviously, I mean that's not like breaking news, but it's really where he wants to be.
Right.
But it's felt like everything, and it's not just the Giants putting this out by saying, "Hey, we can afford anyone." It's also just the media putting it as a two-horse race for the most part, with the Dodgers maybe sneaking in, that has fed it. And you have just a lot of fans who will be disappointed if Judge is not the guy.
Hmm.
It's like in one of my articles I wrote about my friend who was just like, I need a Nintendo for Christmas. And he came, and under the tree was this rectangular box, and he tore it open. It was an Atari 7800. And that's kind of how it might feel if the Giants don't get Judge.
If they get Carlos Correa.
Yeah. Well, I was using it for Brandon Nimmo. Like, if they get Nimmo.
Well, but like, okay.
He's like a Sega Master
System. You can argue we can get into like the real like nerdy argument about like Judge versus Nimmo, like how much of the war difference is. But there, it seems like the Giants are in the market for a face of the franchise.
100%. They want people to care and go to the games for this reason.
Right. But in this market, there's really only two guys who really fit that, I think.
I'd say just one.
I think it's one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Carlos Correa is a fantastic player. Bogarts is a fantastic player. Like, they're going to be worth the money or close to it. But there's one guy that you can make, like, someone who doesn't care about baseball slightly curious about baseball. The person who's slightly curious about baseball about baseball. The person who's kind of into baseball, really into – you know, it's like it levels up your fandom.
I mean, Bags wrote something last season that I thought was super interesting about the fan experience at the park.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how it gotten kind of stale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. I was just like, that's kind of harsh. But then as I thought about it a little bit more, you know what? They kind of have. Like, I mean, you could say that about the franchise as a whole in some ways. That like, and I know they're not far off from like a great season, right? I mean, I know that. But I don't know. Like, there's like a sameness to some of like the identity of the team, and that maybe bringing this guy in, and this is why I asked the Bonds question, make that comp. Like, it really does feel like a moment where, man, if they did that, it would change so many things.
It cuts both ways, to where for so long the Giants had this very unique property where it was, come on out to the ballpark and you will see these same guys who won championships back there, like way back there. They're still here, the same guys. It's Posey, it's Belt, it's Crawford. And in 2021, when they're winning 107 games, that was an easy sell. It's fun, but it's not that anymore. And so you can get them out and say, hey, there's Crawford again. Remember 2014? You know, nudge, nudge. It's not the same vibe.
I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Ring the bell.
Ping. Oh, I should have brought up.
Who's the best Royal on the market? All right.
Ding.
Yeah. I think that from a casual fan perspective, there's really no comparing Judge and Correa. I do think in terms of what brings fans to the ballpark consistently, winning baseball games.
Yep.
I think there's plenty comparison between Judge and Correa if you're going to bet on the next 10 years with each guy.
Yep.
So it's not even a question for the Giants per se, because again, this comes down to what Judge wants. But I think it's an interesting sort of debate if you are the Giants. Do you want to sell a ton of season tickets or whatever the day after you sign Aaron Judge? Or do you feel like maybe your team is in a better spot getting a younger, at a more dynamic defensive position player with the same sort of, if not, he's not going to have a 10-win season. Most likely he's not going to hit 62 home runs. But Carlos Correa is going to be a really good player for the next 5, 6, 7 years. Like, is there the value in that? Does that in the long term make up for the short-term disappointment of not getting Judge?
Well, you know, we talked about this kind of last time. When it's framed that way, I think Carlos Correa, to me, when you talk about making a bet on somebody sustaining their level of play for, you know, a bulk of whatever contract he's getting, I think he's a great bet to do it. He's one of the smartest players in the sport.
Yeah.
He knows himself better, knows his game better than most. And so if we're looking at, you know, is this a safe bet for someone to, like, be good for a while? Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. You know, but I would still agree that when we're talking about that star factor aspect of it, like, sometimes the world changes and so many things stay the same. Aaron Judge is 6'7". That guy stands out anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like, sometimes he's just massive. He's huge. And, like, you want to see how far you can hit a baseball. Like, it's that simple. The power, the size, the distinctive nature of this person, his presence, you know, and that stuff can't be understated too. But, you know, to your point, Andy, I mean, Carlos Correa, terrific, terrific.
I would say that my response, yes, you're both correct that if you're talking 2027, 2028, who am I putting a sawbuck down on having the better season? Correa, all these guys, any pitcher, it's Correa by a long shot. I don't think that the current front office of the Giants should care one whit about 2027 or 2028.
What should they care about?
2023, 2024, and maybe 2025. Like, just, hey, can we? Because you don't know what's going to happen in 3 years. One year, you're the Tigers, and you're losing 113 games, and then the 3 years later, you're in the World Series. You know what I mean? 1 year, you're the Astros, and you've got the butt slide, and you're the joke of baseball, and then 3 years later, you're the Astros, and you're starting this dynastic run.
Yeah, but they're not tanking. So they don't have a wave coming.
No, but I'm just saying, you don't. Who knows? Maybe you come up and you do have a wave in 3 years, or you don't, and you should be tanking. And it doesn't matter if you're paying Judge $50 million or $80 million because you suck so bad. or because you're so good and your prospect wave has arrived. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's more about the present for the Giants in that kind of, you know, defibrillator. I've never said that word out loud before. Defibrillator.
I think what we're talking about. I think what we're getting at is kind of the stuff we talked about with a little bit with the Rangers, right? Like the pressure, right? Because the Giants need to make a statement, right? They need to change the conversation about their team. They need to find a face of the franchise, all these things. And then they're still probably like the third best team in the division.
Yep.
That is a tough spot.
Yeah.
And that's just life in the National League West.
Yeah.
Right. As you know, I wrote last year, the Dodgers run never going to end. It's definitely not like it's definitely not at risk of ending at any moment. As we've all written, like the Padres, anyway, I'm tired of doing that joke.
No, but it reminds me of Krusty the Clown when he bets on the Washington Generals. He's like, oh, I thought they were due. Like,
yeah, but I just like I feel like the Giants, right? They make. Say they even land, they land Judge, which would be like an incredible thing for their franchise. And then there's still so much to be done to catch up to the Dodgers, let alone the Padres, who aren't going to stop. You know, the Padres are just not going to stop. Like an executive described it to me as long ago, like AJ Preller lit a stick of dynamite and the rest of the industry is just amazed at how long the fuse is, because he just they just keep going. They just keep pushing money, prospects, all this stuff that the industry tells you you can't do. The Padres just keep doing it. It doesn't even always work.
Right.
Right. They didn't make the playoffs last year.
Right.
They were 189 games this past year. And, you know, if they had lost to the Dodgers or they had lost in the wild card round, right, it would have been considered like a, you know, not a disaster, but a bit of a disappointment. Right. And they just keep going.
They traded Trey Turner for Will Myers. What? You know what I mean?
Yeah. They just it's just that's like a relentless sort of force to compete against, in addition to, you know, the behemoth in the Dodgers. Right. Like, it's just really, I think, like, it underscores how really significant the challenge that Farhan Zaidi undertook when he took over the Giants. You know, like the fact that, even after years of work and even after that, like, sort of miraculous season in 2021, there's still like such like a boulder in front of them. It really underscores like how difficult that job is.
Two boulders in front of him.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah,
the Padres were like, there was a report about, well, they're in on the shortstops. I'm like laughing. I'm like, how many, you know, are they like starting pitchers? That you can never have enough starting shortstops. Now you don't have to play with shortstop, right? Like, but it's just, yes, like the AJ Preller thing, sort of like the abandon in which he's operated. That is another boulder, right? So you have the Dodgers who are this powerhouse. You have the Padres who just keep pushing in.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a great point about Farhan. Like, that is brutal.
It's like, it reminds me of the Blue Jays when they had to try and keep up in that arms race when it's Red Sox, Yankees, Yankees. It's possible. I mean, the Rays have shown it's possible.
Right. Well, and you look at the Blue Jays now, right? Like, why are they competitive? Homegrown core.
Yep.
That took a while to build, augmented with good, seemingly pretty good eye on free agents. You know, like George Springer has been hurt, but when he's there, he's George Springer. You know, the Gas Man was really good, you know, this past year. Like, but it's built around homegrown core. That's the thing that the Giants don't exactly have. They've been trying to build their, you know, there's maybe theoretically some of these guys will be ready and during the lifetime of, you know, the early portion of a Judge, Correa, whomever contract or contract. But like, it's just hard to microwave it. You know, it's really hard.
Yeah, I think it for any team, for me, I want to see what Bogarts gets, because now that I've seen Turner do 11, I think Bogarts has the potential to be the sneaky best free agent as far as, you know, he's not 35. He's not Carlos Correa. He's not young, but he's like right in that middle where he's been healthy and good for a long freaking time.
He's the best hitter of that group.
Yeah.
Why does it seem like the Red Sox want nothing to do with him?
Yeah,
I don't.
And I mean,
I don't want to tell tales out of school. I have no idea what the Red Sox are doing.
You could tell we're kind of in school. You can tell a tale here. If you know something.
Well, like because I think it does not really make sense.
It's like they've been standoffish with this guy.
Yeah, it's
bizarre.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Are they like saving up for Devers? Why would you need to save up for
Devers? I don't know.
I think it'd be neat if they still had Mookie Betts, to be quite honest.
Oh, man.
You know?
Here we go. Did you know they could have signed John Lester? yeah, it's weird. Like, I think the Red Sox, to me, feel like a team that is just in between on everything, right? They kind of like, or you know, they don't exactly know what it is they want to do, who they want to be. They were able to make the playoffs last year because they still have this sort of leftover really good core from the 2018 group. You know, they made some sort of canny moves to augment it. And then when that core has gotten older, you know, split up a little bit, JD Martinez is not, you know, a total monster, et cetera, et cetera. They faded this past year. But it just seems they seem caught in between.
Well, I mean, the Boston Red Sox are grousing about getting beaten up in the market for Zach Eflin.
Yeah.
Right? Was like, you know, we couldn't compete with the Tampa Bay Rays for Eflin. And so, you know, the standoffishness or whatever you want to call it that sort of played out between them and Bogarts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't understand that at all, given how great a player this kid is. You know, like, I think he's going to get rewarded for it, by the way. The entire industry will tell us. Yeah.
For a fan base that, you know, like, is still obviously upset about the Betts thing, and we don't need to relitigate that. But like, okay, we're going to just live it again. Like, we're going to let another homegrown guy go. Like that, I don't know. Maybe they'll win the bidding, right? Because the market for Bogarts is kind of weird right now. It seems like, I think it's going to take a little bit longer to shape up. Knowing how smart I am about this, he'll probably sign before this podcast posts. But, like for me, like I would watch the Dodgers on Bogarts because I'd be curious to see where he ends up. But I don't know. Like I've yet to talk to. The Red Sox just don't make a ton of sense.
I'm just looking at the 2018 roster on Baseball Reference. They won 108 games,
108,
which is a lot of wins. They won the World Series. And they have in this lineup, Xander Bogaerts, 25 years old, Rafael Devers, 21, Mookie Betts, 25, and just for good measure, Andrew Benintendi, 23. How long do you think that team's going to be good for? How long do you think that core is going on if you're a Red Sox fan? In 2019, before the first pitch of spring training, you're looking at this roster, championship memory just a few months ago, you're thinking this is going to go on forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And so just trading bets is wild enough. We don't have to relitigate that, although I'm always up for it because I'm mad at them for that. but just in general, like I feel like they can't lose Bogarts. Like Bogarts and Devers, they can't lose either, to me, from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets back to the similar question, though, with the Giants. Like, okay, you can't lose those guys. But what else? What else are you doing? They're not good enough with them.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's
like
true.
It's not as simple as you need to keep them. You need to get better. You need to find a way to get back into the conversation. It's the toughest division in the sport by far, you know, by far, especially now that the Orioles, like, we'll see how real the Orioles are, but like they're pretty good. You know,
have a lot of young
talent. They have a lot of young stuff coming, yeah. Right? Like, we'll see if they're legit. The Blue Jays are legit. The Yankees for all of the agita about the Yankees. They're going to win 92 games or more next year, right? For all of the Raysian ways that the Rays do things, right? They're going to win 87 or more next year, right? Like, so the Red Sox, it's not as simple as, like, we need to re-sign those guys. They also have to get better.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. I just, like, I don't know. They frustrate me. The White Sox also frustrate me. But that's a little bit different situation because that is a winnable division. I don't think the Guardians are very good at what they do.
Yeah.
But they're not, you know, like, oh, gosh, how are we going to compete
with the
Astros. Guardians?
Yeah, yeah. They're not the Astros.
But I will say they're going to get better, right? The Guardians, just by having, like, just playing more, right? Yeah. Like, you got this young team that, I mean, they're going to get better. And, like, God knows they're going to just keep churning out arms.
Maybe,
and, like,
they're the mystery team on Judge.
Yes, they should be.
Why That'd not? Be fun.
Yeah.
I want Trent to tweet out the Reds miss out on Aaron Judge. Did you see that when DeGrom signed?
No.
Trent puts a tweet out that says, the Reds missed out on Jacob DeGrom. Like, just that's it. No cut. It was hysterical. Perfect.
I mean, I remember when the Tigers signed Juan Gonzalez and Maglio Ordonez, you know, different offseasons, but no one expected them. Let's get a little weird.
I mean, that's what the Rangers are doing.
I guess
to make it full circle, right? Like, the Rangers are getting weird.
Yeah.
Like, they're swinging long bombs away, you know? Like, they're making it for the fans.
Long bombs away.
Yeah, that's a good reference.
I don't know.
Oh, so good.
All right. This has been fun. This
live.
Been,
you guys enjoy this? We have an audience, our podcast producers.
Is this live? Is this? Yeah, we have producers watching us.
Are we streaming? Where is this? Is it on Twitch?
Is this streaming or is this going to get uploaded? Is it going to get uploaded into the cloud? I don't even know what that
producer
means.
Brian is letting us know.
Like, wait. Why do you put the air quotes around cloud? Cloud's real.
It's
like,
there's a bit.
The thing.
It's a bit now.
Oh.
I'm just old.
I thought you were making a reference to something. Like,
I'm mid-40s. I'm halfway to 90 now. I get to say things like that. Yeah, are you doing math, Andy?
Oh, no, I wasn't listening. I had sort of spaced.
Fair enough. All right.
I'm getting hungry, to be honest.
Yeah, this has been episode 45 of the rectangular table with black cloth over it.
Nice.
I'm Grant Brisby. Thank you for listening. I can actually reach out and, like, touch Mark, and wave at Andy. Like, this is definitely, there's no dog on my lap.
No dog, no cat for me.
Yeah.
No Rosie
for Mark. No 4-year-old climbing all over me. So
Yeah, it's a little weird doing a podcast without a dog on my lap.
Without Mark's hat rack. Behind us.
I should have just, like, gone to the shelter and got a dog. And then,
or without my daughter doing an impression of me. She does an impression of me now.
Does she really?
Oh, yeah. She goes, I'm daddy. Where's the stories? Like, I'm on the phone. Yeah, I'm daddy.
My daughter will put on my shoes and walk around, and she's nine now, but she'll go like, where's my coffee? Where's my coffee? Because that's apparently what I do.
I love kids.
Yeah.
I hope to have some someday. All right.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.